Great, thank you for that. I appreciate that.
How long is this going to go?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's our disgruntled executive producer, Abby.
You didn't really put enough weight on the disgruntled.
Yeah, I'm just working on some
it's
of the
It's Friday night at 7:30, Justin. I have a life where I pretend I do.
Okay. It's a big show, and I'm glad that we're doing the show,
show
in front of a live audience tonight.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, guys.
Thanks for the energy, Abby.
You're welcome.
So I've been working on a couple taglines just because I really want to go after the 13 to 17-year-old demo.
Yeah, they love the radio. That's the way they start.
How do you think this? What do you guys think of this? The download with Justin Kaufman. It's dope. No, that's, I knew that.
I'm worried about the trees in America. You just spitball it.
The download with Justin Kaufman is punk rock.
Is it?
And then the only other one I have is the download with Justin Kaufman. Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, you know what? You're really trying way too hard to like reach. Come on. Millennials only have seen radios on T-shirts at Urban Outfitters. They don't really know what it is, so...
That's right.
I don't know. I mean, okay. And also, you're at that show called The Download. Everybody I talk to think you're talking about The Download, which, you know what? If you're on it, I support you. Live your life. But why hide? Why hide, Justin?
Well, it's
We're
not.
All fluid. Everybody is.
Everybody's fluid. Maybe that, The Download, everybody's fluid.
Thank you! Finally, I've been heard!
All right, great. We finally are in a position here where we have a chance to do our show in front of an audience like we've dreamed about, Abby.
Yeah, but I do have to go.
What do you mean you have to go?
Well, you pay me so little that I have to start my Lyft shift in about 10 minutes.
I just asked for one. I mean, we booked this like nine months ago.
And you have Bud Light, not Miller Light? I mean, I don't know. I'm queer, man. I don't like the Bud Light. Is Bud Light a sponsor? Are they here? Am I in trouble? We'll talk about it Monday.
I just, you know, there was a time when you weren't so disgruntled, Abby.
I don't remember that. My parents certainly don't. Well, one's dead. It doesn't matter. It's not about me, Justin. How do we hit the young people? Hit them where it counts, Justin!
I just feel like there was a time when you and I were young improvisers.
Yeah,
in the back
look
of the
at us
old,
now. We're
look
both at, old men we're, out here holding on.
We're old men
holding
now.
On by a thread, Justin! Two old white men holding on by a thread.
That's right. I just feel like, you
Do
know,
you?
There was a time when this was our dream. This is what you wanted. You wanted to be on stage in front of a crowd at a cool kind of off-kilter card store.
Like, ooh, we're a huge company, but we pretend we're hip. Yes.
Right, right. That's what we talked about in the back, right.
I loved it. And then, you know what? Both of us, we never grew up. And you know what? What's sad about it? I'm 49, and this is my dream. Times are tough, everybody. Times are tough.
All I'm asking, and I think the audience can agree, is that we want a little bit more energy from Abby tonight, right?
Oh, you guys! I think Justin has to work on his brand. I have a dear friend who actually works at Cards who was like, hey, are you going to Jason Kaufman's show? And I was like, do you mean Justin? And she's like, I don't know. And so you need to brand yourself. Justin, you need to brand yourself.
Why? I like my name. My name's fine.
Well, people think your name is Jason, so do you like the name Jason?
It's a nice name.
I mean, it's not bad.
Okay, so Jason Kaufman.
Okay, Jason Kaufman. I think
we got somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Well, all I ask, Abby, is that at some point or another, when you search that dark core of yours,
Dirks,
that you find the spirit that you first got into this business for, radio.
I know more millennials than you do.
You
I
do?
Think, yeah. Like, actually, I have a friend here that I'm here with. He was like 27. It hurts me. People think I'm his aunt. I don't know why we can't be having a torrid May-December romance. Whatever. Deal with your stuff. But, I know all the kids are saying.
What are all the kids saying, Abby?
Hey, guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have learned. Did you know that dabbing is out?
It's out. Okay.
I'm sorry. It was hurtful. I was told 15 times last week, hey, old white lady, stop dabbing. I said, I'm sorry, what? So I stopped. So the dab is out. People go, hey, guys. And I don't know, energy drinks? Something's going on.
Well, once again, you came through tonight.
Finger on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for disgruntled executive producer, Abby. And welcome to The Download. If you're not familiar, that's Abby McEnany, who is, she's just Abby. So there you go. All right, you know what? I got a way. I have a better idea for how we can connect to the youngsters. Are you guys with me on this? You want to stick with me on this one? His new EP is out. It is called Restoration of an American Idol. This guy is one of the most talented hip-hop artists in Chicago right now. He's starting tour on Monday going around the country. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for my friend Taylor Bennett.
How you guys doing? What's up, Chicago? How you guys feeling tonight? So I want to get into my first song right now. It's called Neon Lights, featuring my boy Super. And I am a Chicago native. I grew up here. So it's a pleasure for me to be working with WGN and working on this new show, The Download. I can't wait to see what amazing things come from it. So let's get into it without a further ado.
My name is Super.
Chicago, can we get a little bit louder? Mr. Bennett never finished. You can't miss a call. Me and Super sold out.
SOB's New York.
Waits for Reggie's belly selling Reggie
out the door.
Now I'm thinking bigger motion pictures for a car. Chloe Jordan for the text and wasn't here before. Now I hit withdraw. When I
hit the mall.
Homies from the land popping sins. Got withdrawals. Cross my hands in advance because they just can't get on. I've been getting second chances at it. Like my motivation. Just found out I'm sick. Got no time for patience. Tired of waiting. I know destinations. I don't know locations. I know dead. The nation called up Super Ego, called the bank.
You're gonna pull me in the cream, hey. And I'm a killing name. Hey. And still rock, baby, and still rep gang.
Yeah.
And still throw signs while my niggas do the same.
Cause that
phone shit contagious,
so I let my phone
ring. I don't like to conversate.
No.
For conversation's sake.
Hey.
No more girls who stay out late.
Just
baby girl and May.
I got
real sisters outside while I, when my life's neon lights. Real sisters down to ride, and they gon' ride tonight.
What they do, Super?
She put some bad magic on me. Girl, you throw that bad magic at me.
Yeah.
But now just tryna stack till a nigga can't say.
No.
Maybe break your back till a nigga can't breathe.
Yeah.
She put some bad magic on me. Girl, you throw that bad magic at me.
Chicago, can we make some noise?
Till a nigga can't say. Break your back till a nigga can't breathe.
Down in the spot over some conversations. No more conversations if you want to link, then
hit my agent.
No more weed, I put that down with all my friends who wouldn't make it. All my friends is killers and robbers, some of them couldn't shake it. I play with shorties, Aretha Franklin, and dinner plated. Hispanic girls with attitudes need a great debaters. My work's impassive, my flow fantastic, this is a classic. I bump the classics and beat the masses and preach the masses. I used to roast over roaches until they burnt to ashes. And now I'm so far from me, I feel like I own the casket. They want the new Taylor Bennett, my post was post-traumatic. My flow keeps going, your cold sack will blow you backwards. My click assassins, we always packing and never lacking. I call up Super for magic, Coast Stone, you gotta have it. Your bottle capping, I'm model lapping with chicks and athletes. My reach Jurassic, my shoes ain't matching the Easter basket. I got some twins with me, Nina Martyr, and that's the backup. Some real shorties, sell little shorties to put the racks up. My money long game, done evolving,
it's a classic.
My money long game, done evolving,
it's a classic.
Thank you very much, Chicago. I'm Taylor Bennett.
Thanks for bringing me out, Tay.
Fuck all of that shit. I'm doing the way I want to do.
Hey, Chicago.
Tonight on The Download, State Senator and gubernatorial candidate Daniel Biss. Parachute chef Beverly Kim. From Mr. Show and 30 Rock, Scott Adsit. And live music from the great Taylor Bennett. And now, here's your host, a man who needs no introduction. Oh man. Justin Kaufman!
Have to do a show at a cool place, huh? Sorry. A little exercise ball there. I didn't see it. Woo! Welcome to the Cards Against Humanity space. for the download live in front of a taped studio audience. How are you guys? Thanks for coming out. Before we start, give it up once again for Taylor Bennett. I mean, come on, right? That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So good. Taylor will be back. He'll be performing tonight. We got a great show lined up. I want to thank a couple people before we start. I just want to thank Cards Against Humanity for having us here. Love these guys, Max, Kevin, everybody involved with Cards. Thanks so much for having us. And also, of course, WGN Radio, right, for letting us do this. There's a Blackhawks game on tonight, and the reason that we pilot this, the reason you're all here tonight, is because the Blackhawks, when they play, the download gets the night off. So instead of enjoying my family, you know, and possibly, you know, getting some special time in with my son, I thought, why not do a show? Right? I'm selfless like that. So anyway, we have a great show lined up tonight, you guys. It's unbelievable. You just heard Pete. Daniel Biss is here, state senator running for governor. Beverly Kim, James Beard nominated chef. Scott Adsit, one of my heroes, 20 years ago, Paradigm Lost at Second City. Unbelievable. Scott Adsit's in the building! And Taylor Bennett, one of my favorite hip-hop artists of all time. I swear, I told Taylor this earlier. I am all over the new record, which is great. So Taylor Bennett, ladies and gentlemen, a lot going on. So we got a great show lined up. We got a
blazer with a flowery shirt. He is sitting behind a desk. He is.
What's who's saying that? Where's that at?
And the audience is very intrigued by him.
Hey, what are you doing?
I am the official narrator for the WGN radio audience.
Okay, well, I don't understand. I mean, I think this audience is fine. I don't think we need a narrator, but
Think of it more like closed caption for radio.
I knew there was something management was up to. Okay, well, I guess it's not that distracting, so we'll just go on with the show. Really? I mean, I think they get what I'm doing. I mean,
Justin is starting to get angry.
I'm not getting angry. I'm just saying I think they understand the concept. They don't necessarily need a narrator, right? I mean, they see me on stage, and the people at home are not dumb. I mean,
the audience is not in an agreement.
Are you going to do this the entire show?
As long as my contract lasts.
I just feel like, you know, you're somewhat demeaning to the audience at home, right? I mean, right? I mean, come on.
Justin is being demeaning to the audience.
No. You're being demeaning to the audience as the narrator. You're the one that's messing up, not me.
The narrator is clear on his goal tonight.
Yeah, well, the narrator isn't... You know what? People beep this in post. He's an asshole!
The narrator is not an asshole. Most of the audience thinks that Justin is an asshole.
Oh, no, 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 this is not
the... starting to turn on Justin.
No.
Justin is begging for them. He looks very, very frustrated.
You know what, I knew this was going to be a problem. I knew doing anything outside the studio was out of my control, so... you know what, if you could just do me a favor and leave, that would be really great.
I'm trying just to get by. I'm sorry, Justin. I'll leave.
Oh no! I didn't. You guys, I didn't feel. I didn't want to put a narrator out in the street. No, come on back, narrator. Downloads narrator. Don't we want him to come back? Come on, everybody.
The audience is incredibly enthusiastic about the narrator's return.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the downloads narrator. All right. Also known as Kevin Lampy. Good job, Kevin. That was good.
Thank you very much.
There we go. All right, let's get the show on the road, shall we? All right, I'm very excited about my first guest tonight. You know, I don't know if there are any other mathematicians / nerd fighters running for governor. Let me fact check that, actually. Pritzker, no. Kennedy, no. Rauner, maybe. Maybe Rauner. State Senator Daniel Biss represents Evanston, Skokie, some of the northern suburbs, and he is running on the Democratic ticket for governor. Give it up for Daniel Biss! Look at that, huh? He dressed up for the occasion.
I'm not wearing a flowery shirt.
No,
but next time.
Next time. Daniel was one of our first guests ever on the download, so I'm happy that you're here, and congratulations on, I guess, running for governor. Is that a congratulations? Why do you want this job?
How long do you have? Listen, the state is in a crisis, and people are in pain across Illinois. We haven't had a budget for, as of midnight tonight, it'll be 21 months.
Give it up for Illinois. We did it.
We did break the world record.
We broke the world record.
But listen, dude, here's the point. It's not about a number of months. It's about millions of people who are hurting. Kids who don't know if their schools are going to be open, young people who are not sure if the universities and community colleges are going to be open, and are in many cases leaving the state because they're unsure, and people who rely on the state for health care and human services and are being thrown out on the street. It's immoral. But look, that's the crisis we have now because Bruce Rauner has failed, but we got him as our governor because of a broken system that failed us for decades. And so you have a billionaire governor, you have a machine political system, and you need to build a movement to take the state back. And right now, what I see across the state of Illinois is people hungry to be a part of that movement. That's why I'm running for governor.
All right, there you go. But I don't want to be a downer to everybody in the room, but, I mean, he's way too young and too handsome to run for governor. I mean, you kind of have to be a billionaire old guy or like a dweeby beatnik like Pat Quinn was, right? Right? Wears a Sox hat. Hey, I just want to sign my petition on Michigan Avenue. I guess the question, when I say why do you want this job, I mean, as a state senator, you're in a group of people that we can blame for screwing up the state. As the governor, we just blame you. I mean, you're going to be the guy that's the fall guy for when things go wrong.
Yeah, I didn't hear any part of the question after handsome. This is an opportunity to really fix things. And again, here's the point that I want to make. We've had a system that has not been working for people for a very long time, and there's all kinds of consequences, right? We've got the tax code that we have in Illinois is one of the most unfair in the country, where the middle class, the working poor pay more than elsewhere, and millionaires and billionaires pay less. Our school funding system is also one of the most unfair, in fact, the most unfair, which is punishing people in impoverished neighborhoods. And we've just sat around and known this and not done anything forever. And we can't, there's no reason for that anymore. Now is the time.
Governor Rauner will respond to that saying, I've only been governor for 3 years. The state of Illinois has been in Democratic rule with Speaker Madigan for, 30, 35 years? I mean, the Democrats are on the hook for a lot of the things that you just mentioned, the tax code and the school funding.
No doubt.
So as a Democrat running, I mean, how are you going to be able to get that message across when people can easily say, well, it's been your party that got us here?
Yeah, listen, you start by being honest, right? You start by being honest about a system that's been responsive to millionaires and billionaires and a political machine that's, by the way, been historically a bipartisan political machine for a long time. And the rest of us have been locked out of the room, right? There's a system that makes decisions about us without us in the room. And the consequences are clear when it comes to tuition, when it comes to the way we fund schools, when it comes to our tax code, when it comes to our healthcare system, the consequences are clear. And anyone who's going to point their finger at just one person and say it's that dude's fault, I think lacks credibility. And I think what we need is someone who's willing to talk about not just this moment's problems and not just a particular person's failings, but what it takes to build a political system that's responsive to people. And if we can't do that, we're going to be back here having the same kind of conversation in a decade.
At Cards Against Humanity? Cool.
If we're invited. I can't speak for that.
If it goes well. can you win? I mean, and I guess we saw this with Bernie Sanders, but and you know, really pushing for the Democratic primary or for the nomination for president. But can you win on an inequality stance alone? Can you get the voters to recognize the inequality that's happening in this country, in this state, when it comes to jobs, to wages, to schools, and be able to solely run on that and win in the state of Illinois?
You don't need to get the voters to realize that. People feel that in their bones. This is the first generation in recorded history where the majority of people are doing less well than their parents were doing at the same age. All right, let me say that again. Most people in their 30s today are doing less well than their parents were at the same age. People see that the economy is growing. People see the state and the country are getting richer, and they know it's going somewhere else. Yeah. So people feel it. The question is, what do you say to demonstrate not only that you get it, but that you can fix it? And it's not just an inequality message in the sense of let's punch a bunch of billionaires in the face. It's a message, calm down. It's a message about understanding who's been in control for how long and what that's done to all of us and understanding what we can accomplish if we take power back.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Well, I could say that I'm doing better than my parents, you know. since my mom drove a school bus to the Head Start, you know, when she was in her 30s, right? I mean, that's, I mean, I'm on stage at Cards Against Humanity, so. Who's really giving back at this point? I think I am, but. I'll give you two platforms that I think Daniel would run on and he'd win automatically. One, you know, okay, we'll give you the billionaire stuff, right? Two, make airline tickets $100 less. Right off the bat, there are people like, yeah, I'm in, right? Okay, not that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. The second issue is
don't worry about what I'm looking at on the internet.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that that's. I think you're, I kid, of course, but I'm like, there are some things about, you know, make things affordable and at the same time stay out of my business.
Yeah. Listen, and the affordability question I think goes without saying, and I meet people all the time who are like, I just don't get it. My cost of living is going up, whether it's food or gas or rent or property taxes or tuition or healthcare or being able to afford retirement. And I'm paying more and I'm paying more, and I'm trying to figure out where all the money went. Where'd it go? And the answer is not to us. It went to a very small group of people who are doing very well. So the affordability question is key. But the privacy question is key, too. I mean, there's a bill in Springfield right now that says that, IT companies should just let you know, just tell you, if they're going to sell your data to somebody else. And you would have thought, based on the response, that it was some kind of radical idea. There is an incredible problem with privacy in this modern world, and we've allowed it to get way, way out of our grasp. And once that genie's out of the bottle, where there's a tremendous amount of trouble, and it's hard to ever bring it back. So, yeah, it's a huge issue.
All right, let's get off issues. Let's talk politics, shall we?
Yes, sir.
You have been on the trail in the first couple days. You talked, you know, about Governor Rauner. He's not right for the state. You've also seemed to, you know, I wouldn't say sort of dabble around the edges, but you talk smack about Speaker Madigan as well. Do you feel like you have what it takes to, I guess the question is, do you need the state Democratic Party to run for governor? Do you need Mike Madigan's support? Do you need the Democrats to get behind Daniel Biss?
I think what you need is to tell the truth in a way that brings the people on board. And what I've said, and I'll say it again right now, Mike Madigan's been there too long. He's too powerful. It's not good for the state. And I'm not saying that because I'm running for governor in 2017. Literally in the first month I was in the legislature, I put in a constitutional amendment that said you can't be speaker for more than 10 years because I don't think it's a good system.
Does he wear a crown when you're not, like not backstage? A, does he go, who's got my cloak?
Not a visible one,
is
no.
Is there a cloak?
Not a visible one. But I think if we pretend as Democrats that everything in Illinois was perfect when Bruce Rauner took office in January of 2015, then we're not being credible. And if we're not being credible about diagnosing the problem, then who the hell is going to believe us about the solution? And I think telling the truth and being clear about blame that we need to look inward to distribute, as well as blame that we need to look outward and distribute on Bruce Rauner, is crucial. It's necessary. It's the only way to win. It's the only way to govern.
All of you guys, look inward. Daniel Biss wants you to look inward. All right, so Bruce Rauner, and I thought was pretty mediocre in his response to your running for governor, where he just said, another Madigan crony, which is not true in any form, but it's just like the Republican Party has figured out a way that the way to win any election is attached the candidate to Mike Madigan, mm-hmm. and that's going to be the way they're going to approach taking you down. How do you feel about that? That the fact that there's going to be ads on TV with you, like, sort of, and Mike Madigan's face superimposed on each other. And be like, he loves Mike. Look, they're kissing. It's gonna be awesome.
I guess you've seen the pre-roll. yeah, they're going to say that about anybody. And there's two different questions, right? One is, are you a Democrat? Yes. And the other is, what kind of Democrat are you? And there's a lot of wings to the Democratic Party. There's a lot of different points of view in the Democratic Party. There is a Democratic machine in Illinois. I get it. I see it. We suffer from it. But there are also progressives. There are also independents. And that's not just me, and it's not just now. Look at the people that we send to Washington from Illinois, whether it's Dick Durbin or Barack Obama. Look at the history of independent progressive politics we have in the city of Chicago, like Harold Washington. Look at our history in a previous century. Abraham Lincoln's from Illinois. We have the ability to have principled, independent leaders who are not beholden to that machine culture. The way to do it is to tell the truth and be honest and build an independent base of support. So you're not relying on the machine. You're relying on people who don't care what the machine says.
But isn't that machine in place to keep guys like you out?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that, that's the concept. I mean, they built a political fiefdom to say, we don't want Daniel Biss talking to the people. We talk to the people. What do you want to say? Psst, 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 psst. Yeah, no, we'll say it. I mean, that's what they've been doing for years. I mean, so how do you get, especially the statewide race, a national race, we saw it with Donald Trump in a way that he was able to speak right to the people he needed to speak to. But in a statewide race, it's, I mean, we're lazy. We're lazy voters, and it's true. And at the end of the day, we go, what commercial's on last? And that's how we vote, or we vote straight party. So how do you get through that sort of the idea that there are going to be a lot of billionaires and a lot of ads, and you're going to hope that they're just going to vote for you out of principle?
Well, when it comes to the machine question, I actually think the statewide nature of the race helps. Right? If you're running in just the 13th ward, where Mike Madigan is the committeeman, and you're going to go around the machine to the people, you've got a hell of a machine to go around. But the state is big. The state is diverse. The political machines have traditionally been centered in Cook County, and even there, it's weakening. And there's a greater opportunity to build a different kind of political institution. Now, by the way, there is a hunger for activism in Illinois right now, in 2017, unlike anything I've ever seen in my life before. And so the moment to build that alternate power base is right now. And by the way, then when it comes to funding ads, am I going to outspend Bruce Rauner? I am not going to outspend Bruce Rauner. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not a millionaire. I think I might be a thousandaire. It depends on what my house is worth right now, but there's a decent chance at least. But I'm not going to outspend Bruce Rauner. But what we have seen is that if people are excited about a political candidacy, a political movement, there's the ability to raise significant amounts of money from ordinary people in small amounts. And we're seeing that already in this campaign, just 11 days in. And that's a different way to raise real money, get the message out, and have the ads on TV, along with all the door-to-door and person-to-person work.
I think you should just get Taylor Bennett to open for you. Right? Because you know Chris Kennedy's going to be, ladies and gentlemen, the ABBA cover band. And you'll be like, you know, or J.B. Pritchard's like, these really cool nerdy guys from 1871. Boop, boop, beep, boop, 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 beep, boop. And you'd be like Taylor Bennett to be like, yeah, I'm in. I'm in for Biss. Give it up for State Senator Daniel Biss, who's running for governor. That guy's wonderful, right? So tall. You know what you got to work on, Senator? You got to work on dropping your G's. That's a thing if you're going to be governor. I guess. Or I do also like the disheveled beatnik look. Did anyone see the new White Sox ad where Mark Conkle is talking about the White Sox, timeless? Did you see this? And there's a shot in the middle of it with Pat Quinn, who's got his hat on too tight, and it's down, and his hair's kind of coming out, and you could tell that no one told him what this was for. You know, like they just put a, and he's just like, oh. He's our Bernie Sanders. It's cute. All right. We got a lot more show to do tonight. You know what I think we should do right now to get everybody up? What do you think? I think it is. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring back to stage the one, the only, Taylor Bennett. Get up here.
It's the funny thing about green rooms is that you get trapped back there, you start eating, and you hear your name, and you run back to the front. So, are we still alive tonight, Chicago? We're still here? All right, awesome. Well, then, let's get into the next track. I believe it's New York Nights. So, this is a song that I wrote about being from Chicago, about living in Chicago, growing up on the South Side. I don't know how many South Side people we got in here, but we're going to work with you. What's the worst news you could hear from the hospital? I'm too young for blood clots, too young for mug shots, too old for takedowns. I need that lake house, view like a stakeout, tired of takeout. I got no time wishing, Sand had these blood clots. God pushing me like this cliff was a jump start. Knew I could fly since he's F's on report cards. Knew I could die since J-Lo had caught that gunshot. Evil won't sleep, I'm early, ain't know what things bar, dreams bar. Spend it on all I need like a link car. Used to hop trains cause all my money was dang saw. Used to stain steamers and sweat until they had paint jobs. Used to have friends that rapped and cracked bank cards. Now I'm on maps and can't match my bank cause. Dear friends, now I can quick pay your PayPal. Business ain't living or listen over they pay cost. I've been on a mission to get them, but there's a great wall. I ain't different, listen, medicinally we was brainwashed. Young kids thinking about sex, money, and gang wars. Young kids thinking about killing other kids with ARs. I solicit to folks, Moes, and foes. Presidents, the doctors, the dope dealers. I'm from the 90s, 16's got no limits. Chi-town don't die down in cold winters. I know the mob, the mayor, and know some cold killers. I know some rappers and actors won't even roll with us, cause we be stacking and clapping after our shows with us. And it be more of a Smokey Peter than Joe with us. I went to prep and was urban cause we was cold killers. They got a problem, we got a problem, I blow with them. This was my life before many models and show fillers. How could I change for gold rings like Gorilla? I ain't got time to slow down a time killer. I ain't got time to slow down my rhymes. Chicago, how y'all feeling tonight? Chicago, I'm Taylor Bennett. Appreciate you guys again.
So talented. Restoration of American Idol. Check that out. It's a great, it's an EP, although I will say there are 9 songs on that. What, are you breaking the rules? Just call it an EP now? It's 6 and under. Everybody knows that. It's an album. Just call it an album. Not extended play. Extended play is like, you know, I don't know, that Veruca Salt. You know? You know, when Buffalo Tom doesn't want to put out 7 songs, they put out 6. You know? It's a terrible reference. I couldn't tell you anything about Buffalo Tom. We're moving on. Okay. So download live here at Cards Against Humanity. We got a I'm very excited. My next guest, let's bring her out. I'm so excited for her. She has just been nominated for Best Chef Great Lakes and for the James Beards coming up here in Chicago in May. She is a longtime chef here in Chicago, but also an award winner, and she was a finalist on Top Chef and Bravo, and she has one of the greatest restaurants in Chicago called Parachute. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Chef Beverly Kim! Before we start, I just want to thank you, because I am now into fiddle ferns.
Great, you can have a parachute.
Yeah, that's right. That's why I went this week. I went and I snuck in there. No big deal. And I've had a trench coat and a whole hat and thing. You wouldn't know it was me. Congratulations on the James Beard Award nomination. What's that mean for you? Because, I mean, your restaurant has been up before, but this is for you and Johnny. This is a chef nomination. What's that mean for you?
Well, in the chef world, this is kind of the dream come true, you know, and all the chefs that I worked under or that I looked up to were James Beard, you know, winners or nominees. So it is a huge, like, thing for our restaurant and for me and Johnny. But we want to keep it cool, so, because we're going up against amazing talent, and just to be on that list is a huge honor. And whoever makes it, I mean, Chicago is well represented, so.
Well, it's all Chicago,
it's
right?
It's all Chicago, so.
It's great, right? Yay. I don't want to freak you out. I'm a 2-time James Beard Award winner. I don't want to make a big deal out of that. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. Someone won the pool. Someone won the bingo. Mentioned it before 8 o'clock, which is great. But, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, this city has become such a culinary mecca, and a lot of it has to do with the James Beard Awards coming here, but at the same time, it has to do with chefs like yourself and Johnny and others who've opened up restaurants and actually brought your style to neighborhoods, not just downtown Chicago. You've expanded. Talk about Chicago in the last, Parachute's been open since what, 2014? 14, so yeah. Only 3 years. Talk about how that, even in the 3 years' time, this city's culinary scene has changed.
Oh my gosh, every year, like, it's the most amazing new restaurants are opening all the time, and a lot of them are opening in just neighborhoods like Giant or like in a lot of like mom and pop, like husband wife teams. Like so a lot of you know, people like myself who grew up as a cook and never could dream of owning their own place, but like could finally make something happen maybe in a smaller scale, is finally like getting to a chance to own their own place. Or, you know, I think that makes a huge difference with the food and the style of food. It's more genuine, more authentic, and you're out to be more like able to take a risk, you know, with the food. And I feel like Chicago just is like one of the best cities for that. We just have all these little neighborhood pockets that need to be, are in need of more restaurants, right, for people to go in the neighborhood to support it. And I feel like that's what's like making Chicago one of the best cities to cook in. And I don't know, it's I haven't seen so many restaurants. And in fact, it's almost like becoming so hard to like get cooks in your own kitchen.
I've heard that, yeah. There's like a shortage, right?
There's like before it used to be like you got a guy the next day if you didn't have a position open, like there was constantly like 20 people like available to you, and now it's like a lot of restaurants have opened, and so now they're kind of saturating all these cooks, and which is great. It's super competitive.
Well, that leads to the question I have, because the last time we talked, and we talked about how owning and operating your own restaurant as a chef is a 24-hour job. I mean, a lot of people think it's style. You know, she's got that cool, crisp, white, you know, jacket on, and you know, it's just a bunch of celebrities coming in, and Beverly's just so much fun. She's up at 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, prepping for this. It's 24-hour job. With the shortage of cooks and the idea that there's so much more competition, it probably makes it even harder for you to move on to be more of an executive or to be something else, because it is harder to get people to come and do essentially your job.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the number one like thing that stresses me out the most, or I lose sleep at night, is just simply like people, like making sure like it takes so much like labor to get the food out, and with rising costs of labor and with the shortage of cooks, and it keeps me up at night. We talk about cooks all the time and how to find these great cooks, and it's what makes or breaks your restaurant is literally the people who are coming into your door and working for you. And we're constantly, I would say, like, everybody had, like, I managed 25 people. I can't believe. I started with me and my husband, we started with 7 employees included, and now we have 25, and each 25 employee has their own issues and come with their own baggage, and like, and trying to get them to work together.
Do you do all staffs now every Tuesday at 3 o'clock?
we do a lot of coaching, counseling, development planning, and it's just, I didn't realize how much it took out of me, but like it really, it is like, it's like everything is the people.
Right.
And so,
do you ever have to go, guys, there was a Lean Cuisine in the fridge and somebody took it. And I just need you right now to tell me who took it. Does that ever happen at Parachute?
No, not really.
Is it more the fiddle ferns? Who took the fiddle ferns?
It's more like how it's really strange, like how... It's like telephone. You will train someone like how to do this, and then they're like, "Oh, well, I think I have a better way of doing this, and it's going to be faster, but not necessarily better."
Right.
And then they train someone else, and by the time like the third person has it, it's completely different, and so it's constantly training and retraining, and that's what being a chef's about.
I read a piece today where you said that the moment that you quote unquote made it as a chef, and you have so many awards, and you're up for a James Beard nomination for best chef, is when your mom didn't criticize anything.
Oh,
like there's like one night where she's like,
one
I think
where she didn't say anything.
She's like, I think it's good. You're like, whoa.
And she still to this day will criticize. She'll come in. She comes into Parachute like literally once a week. My parents put up their house for the restaurant. I mean, literally, it was a family business. I mean, we had a. Get them to co-sign the papers and everything. But, you know, they got our backs, you know? She's like, oh, Beverly, kimchi. too spicy this time, too salty. And you know what? As much as, like, she's actually right. And the thing is, like, I'm like, geez, you know, like, you should be, like, the shopper. You know, they call it the shopper. And I constantly actually listen to her because, like, she's honest. Most people are like, oh, you know, everything is great. But there's this thing about Korean culture. It's a little bit, like, of Tourette syndrome, like, where they just say whatever's on their mind. This is, like... You know, they just say the first thing, like, oh, you're fat. Oh, you gain weight, you know, or you lost too much weight, you know, or you're, you know, you're constantly self, you know, like, self-conscious, but they're, like, the first ones to tell you the, like, honest God truth of, like, and criticize, and they're super picky, and my mom is just she's one of those kind.
We all need one of those kind, right?
And yeah, it took a little while for my staff to get used to that. But like, because, you know, she would, you know, talk to the servers and be like, you know, taking notes on everything. And you know, that cocktail, you know, one was really good, but not as good as the last time, you know. And
she's the one that you put on Who Stole the Lean Cuisine.
Yes.
You know, you just put her in there.
She's on it. She's
so
totally
I mean, for you to be doing this and to have this be such a full-time job, and obviously the accolades are great, but what keeps it fresh for you? I mean, to on a random Tuesday at 6:30 where you're like, all right, here we go again. Here's another night of a huge rush and people coming through the restaurant. What keeps it fresh for you as a chef and owner?
Honestly, it's the people who come into the restaurant. And, you know, it like, as much as people say, this is amazing, this dinner was so awesome, the ones that stand out are the ones that, like, didn't have a good time. And they're like, oh, they sent back a dish. Or, like, and it makes me so upset because I'm like, there's a crack.
People send back a dish at Parachute?
It happens once in a while. And you know, what we do is we give the customer, you know, like, a benefit of the doubt, and we taste it.
No, you got to send your mom out. Let her taste it.
Sometimes, you know, you don't want to, you know, it's just a preference. You know, it's perfectly cooked, but, like, maybe too rare for their taste.
No, I got it.
But sometimes, you know, things, you know, are, you know, like, maybe too heavy-handed with salt or something like that, and it's just like, you know, you're trying to see everything and trying to make sure everything is what you want it to come out as a vision, but sometimes it doesn't, and you know, so it really challenges me all the time, is like how to be who we are, you know, and because we can't make everybody happy, but at the same time, like, listen to our, you know, our diners.
Well, it's fascinating because does being a neighborhood restaurant, because you're up on Elson, you're right. I mean, it's amazing when you go in and you're like, oh, Chief O'Neill's. I've been there on St. Patrick's Day three times. Never any other time. Just on do you feel like when it comes to the culinary scene, when you have chefs downtown and chefs in different neighborhoods of West Loop or in Randolph Street or South Loop, do you sometimes feel that? Do you feel part of the community? I mean, do you feel when you're in a different neighborhood and there's all this stuff going on and Bayless is doing this stuff and then he's like, hey, Brendan Sotokoff, catch! And they're like, yay! And they throw the next guy, catch! And you're like, I'm up here, let me take the L, I'll be there in 25 minutes. Do you feel like you're sort of ostracized for being in a neighborhood when it comes to, like, the culinary community?
No, not at all, not at all. The culinary community in Chicago is really, it is a really, what we, like, really respect each other and are there for each other. And if someone needs something, people pick up the phone and text or call, and usually it's like a no problem, you know? Like, for instance, Bruce Sherman from North Pond Cafe, he, like, called the other day. He's like, do you want to be a part of this soup solidarity? You know, like, raising money for immigrant rights. And I was like, no problem. When do you need it? You know? And it's just like, we do the best we can. We're only a 40-seat restaurant, so all the time we get, like, requests, like, you know, Rick Bellis has his anniversary is coming up, or, you know, and we honestly really want to be a part of it, but there's only, we just can't handle, like, 500 or 600, you know, like, hors d'oeuvres. You know, we would love to be a part of these events, but sometimes we do have to say no, but I don't think it's we're ostracized.
Well, I'll give you two words, sometimes pronounced one, Costco. Is it two or one?
Right. I wish it was that easy.
You should just take me. Every time I go to Costco, I buy the stupidest stuff. it stays around for a while, and then I realize what a jerk I am for buying the bratwurst pizza. Anyway, Beverly, congratulations on all your success on the restaurant, on the nomination, and I think I speak for everybody here in the audience that we are pulling for you. The rest of those guys, forget them. Beverly Kim, give it up. Thank you. How about it, Beverly Kim? Yeah! Woo! All right. Let's see what we got here. Wow, all right, we're on our way, right? Gosh, I'm telling you, man, I went to Parachute this week. It was great. I highly recommend it. Fiddle Ferns. Anyone been to Parachute in the room? Yeah, a couple smatters. There we go. All right. Well, I see we're about halfway through the show. I'm going to get Taylor back up here in just a second. We'll play some music, but I want to talk to the guy as well. And we'll keep on going with the show. You know what we do this, Pete? Why don't we do this just for time? Because we'll just switch it up a little bit. Why don't we go right to our next guest so he can get to his show, which is at 9 o'clock here at the Chicago Improv Festival. My next guest is, Chicago Improv royalty. This guy was on stage at Second City Main Stage, and frankly, some of the best stuff that theater has ever produced. He moved on to be an ensemble member with Mr. Show. How great is that, right? And so many other projects, as well as playing Pete on 30 Rock. He is in town accepting an award and performing at the Chicago Improv Festival. It is my honor and pleasure to welcome Scott Adsit to the stage. All right. When I was in Second City Conservatory, which would have been 97, it was Paradigm Lost was on stage. And the whole class would sneak down, and we'd sneak in the back, and we would watch the last two scenes, which one was the priest and the nun singing. I don't know the traditional name of it, but it's a great sketch.
I think it's called Grandma's Records.
Grandma's Records. And then we would stay for the improv set. And you ruined improv for me for the rest of my life, because you guys would be up there. It'd be you and Dorf and Zulovic and Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch and Jenna Jolovitz. And you guys would just, it was like, I was like, oh, my God, you're making the greatest things ever. And then from that point on, I feel like I'm just chasing. Every time I see an improv show, I'm like, I wish it would be that. I wish it would be that.
And yet here you are. Look at all these people.
Yeah,
see
that's it. Right. That's right. Let's talk about 20 years ago, Paradigm Lost. Let's start there with Second City. One of the most groundbreaking shows. Talk about that show and the fact that it's been 20 years. You think about it? Talk about the memories that are associated to a show like that.
That was the third in a series of shows we did that kind of changed the way the theater operated, at least on stage. We did a thing called Pinata Full of Bees before that, which was a reaction to the fact that we had just done a retrospective of 35 years, and we did a bunch of old scenes that were kind of old-fashioned and really good and not right for the times, really. So we decided to go the opposite way and just change the format of a Second City show, and that has remained, I think, till this day.
Right.
And that was the third one. Paradigm was the third one. It was Tina's second show with us. I think it was my fourth. And we just were looking for a way to surprise ourselves and the audience, because before that, a show at Second City had pretty much gone like a freight train. There's
right.
a car, 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 and it was like scene, 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 blackout, song, scene.
Right.
And so we kind of made it a pop-up book or a dream format where anything can happen and anything can snap back to where we were and fold out and come back.
Yeah, did anyone see that show 20 years ago, Paradigm Lost?
God,
really?
Some
smattering. There we go. But there was something about it that it took the elements that were happening in some of the off-loop theaters, the IOs or the annoyances, and took what we knew about Second City with the blackouts and the piano playing and things and combined them together, Mick Napier, the director, and it opened the eyes and inspired a generation of improvisers to do something different.
Yeah, it was Mick and also Tom Giannis who directed Pinata Full of Bees before
right.
Mick. It changed everything, and we were very happy with it. We were very glad to go to work, you know?
Do you find projects like that? I mean, when you're at Second City with Pinata or with Paradigm Lost, and now 20 years later with Hollywood, I mean, is there a certain feel and emotion that goes to a successful project? I mean, if you get on a set and you're working on 30 Rock or, you know, doing animation, anything like that, is there like a feel you're like, oh, this reminds me of when I was at Second City. This is good.
Sometimes. It depends on people. I think it's such a different game, TV and film. It's just a different mindset and has almost like different goals. But if I'm looking at Dratch or I'm looking at Tina or you know, I'm on set with Dorf or somebody, then I just did a series with Glazer. That is very familiar. That's the real connection is just that we have this history. And also we have trust, which is nice. And so there's a comfort. It's like sitting in this chair you've got. It's a very comfortable chair. I can go sit in John Glazer.
You know, when it's interesting because early on, and even when you came out of Second City and you go to Hollywood, improvisation's a huge skill. I mean, it's a skill that a lot of other actors and comedians who come in from around the country, they don't have it. It's now 20 years later, it almost is like playing guitar in the way that everybody studies for it. Everybody's, I could play guitar, I could play bass. They put on the resume. It's a part of the thing. Has it lost the luster of oh, this guy can improvise on the side? I mean, it feels like everybody does that coming out of, you know, their schools.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to discourage anybody from doing it. I think anybody can do it. There's, I guess, levels of natural ability, but I think anybody can learn to do it well. And certainly, it's harder to get noticed now that everyone's doing it, and it's such a like an accepted thing. There was a time when, like 10, 15 years ago, when people started referencing improv classes on TV, and that was completely new to me. I was like, how do you know about my life? You know? And it was because the people who had been in improv are now writing TV and movies and stuff. So. There's this huge proliferation. It's very weird to go to Second City now for me because when I was there, it was not the theater it was in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s. It had changed and become different, but it was still kind of ratty, and there was only two stages. And if you were in class, you were on class in the main stage. And if you went into the office, there were, you know, two offices. And I walked through it today, and I mean, there's like three or four bars. There's common rooms, and there's room breakout rooms that are just for planning tourco gigs. And
a lot of conference rooms.
Yeah, and a lot of like relaxing places. It's like right. It's like Silicon Valley, because there's like all these big open air blonde wood spaces where you can go and chill. And as I was told, study. I'm not sure what people are studying, sitting like in a carrel or in a break room. I'm sure, but see, the thing is now Second City is so much larger. They have so many different disciplines. When I was there, I can't believe I'm one of those guys who's saying back in my day. But you know, it was small and it was all concentrated on just the two shows we had up and running, and. There were two offices. Now there are more offices, I think, than like theater chairs, the audience seats in the place. But then there's also, you know, they got a film department, a voiceover department, and writing and screenwriting and television writing and all these specialities, which is great because if you're going to learn from somebody, learn from Second City. It's just so different for me. It's very strange. It's like coming home, but. Like coming back to your mom's house, but she's built a corporation around your room.
When you come back to Chicago, I mean, I think you live in LA, right?
I live in New York.
New York. When you come back to Chicago, is that the Chicago that the Scott adds at Chicago, or is it the Columbia College Chicago, the Roscoe Village, you know, goofing around with Dino, kind of like what's Chicago to Scott adds?
Yeah, it's daggers of ice hitting you in the face, and it's the North Side certainly. I lived in several different places, but I think of it, yeah, Roscoe Village, good call, and Second City. But then you know I see a lot of Columbia people in my business as well, and that's just like coming right back home too. So I have several different lovers in Chicago, and Columbia is one.
Yeah, as well deserved, right there. Several lovers. When we talk about the skills that are needed to do your job, right? I mean, you learned improv in Chicago, and you learned acting, but talk about what's needed to be successful in Hollywood, to be Pete on 30 Rock, or to be a voiceover.
No Tina Fey. No. meet and get Tina Fey to trust you. Start there.
I mean, we joke about it. There is something about, I mean, relationships. As a lot of improvisers come up, it is about relationships and not being a dick.
I know there are people who are very talented who have not gotten hired because it's they're weird to be with or because they're assholes. And that's just, you know, a shame for the people who are missing out on their talent. And I think that they have missed a lot of opportunities because their attitude is not so great.
Yes, you've had success with being in Tina Fey's project, of course, 30 Rock, but you've done a lot of stuff outside. I mean, I remember it was Chicago's rooting for you. You showed up on Mr. Show. You showed up in a lot. I mean, you were on every other commercial when you first got to Hollywood. Yeah. I mean, it really was like, there's Scott. But, I mean, and you know, even with Big Hero 6 and the other things that you've done, what are some of the things that you need to be successful in Hollywood beyond just relationships? I mean, are you constantly learning new skills, or is it just relying on the fact that you're a good improviser? What is it?
Well, I'm always trying to get better. I'm not taking classes, but I do work hard on the jobs I do get. And I try to make myself not look like a fool when I go to work. It doesn't always work. I mean, I have a hard time with lines for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, I really do. I really slow down a production.
It's hard to believe.
It may be because I just spent so many years without a script that a script is, I feel like, I give it so much weight that if I get a syllable wrong, I'll be in trouble or something. But so I need to get better. How am I successful? I think it's just staying power, for one thing. I've got nothing else to fall back on. And I really enjoy it. I mean, I really, here's the thing. I think I'm willing to starve for it. And so I would do it if it was damaging my life. I would do it. So I have a good passion for it, and then I've been lucky enough to be taught by good people, and then remember what they said. Mostly the people who taught me in the first year or two of like Columbia College. Those are the people that I always go back to. Those are the like Marty DeMott, who and Sheldon Patinkin, who taught me things that are very very basic kindergarten stuff. But those are the really only skills you need.
It is true. I mean, I studied with Marty, and I mean, there's this idea in improv where you can go one way or the other, and there's always been this sort of Marty DeMott, Del Close kind of, you know, Del Close, you could do better, you know, and Marty DeMott, you're great as you are. Yeah. Like there's this like great sort of like almost a push and pull in how you're taught improv.
Yeah, it's mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
And if you listen to both, you'll do all right.
That's right. I'm interested in how you deal with, I mean, as you know, someone who's had success, how you deal with rejection. Because that is, and we talk to a lot of artists on the download, and they talk about, you know, they will be a Broadway star, and then in 6 months they have to try out for a play, and they don't even get called back. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so much rejection that the normal person doesn't go through, and we think that it's all glamorous to be an actor in Hollywood. But I would assume there's a lot of projects that you got passed up on.
Sure, every day. I mean, auditioning is part of my life, and I am.
How do you adjust your life, your psychological being, to have that be part of your life?
Well, it takes a while. I mean, I think it took one really big disappointment for me to that I survived, to know that you know there's light at the end of the tunnel, and your self-worth is not based on someone else's estimation of it. They just don't get it, or you screwed up in the room, and it is your fault, but you can do better. You know you're better. You're still doing this, you know. And if you're not still doing this, if you're saying to yourself, "I'm going to get out," then maybe you should. But I would suggest you don't, because I think you're being too hard on yourself.
You know, for you to come back this week and do the Improv Festival, 20th anniversary Improv Festival, and they're giving you an award. What does it mean to you? I mean, to have been such a presence, for the Chicago improv scene for as many years you were here, and even after the fact in Hollywood. I mean, there are. I mean, I know Abby would say the same thing, that there's this sort of like every time we see you on screen or anything, we're like, yeah.
Really? Who's Abby? Yeah.
Abby's over here, another improviser.
Oh, Abby, but, backstage, yeah.
But the idea, and I think I speak for the improv community in Chicago, that at least the ones that were around when you were here, that are like, we want you to succeed. There's a push that we're like, Scott Adsit is the guy. So, I mean, what's it mean for you to be back here to accept that award and to sort of think about, you know, 20-plus years of doing improv as a career?
Well, you know, it's very humbling, and it's as I said, when I got the award last night, and as I said then, it was great to get an award that allows me to come home for free. I mean, Chicago is everything to me. It's where I came from and why I am who I am and all that. So to be recognized, you know, by anyone when I come home, that's a huge honor and a weird place to be. I doubt anybody, at least nobody would admit to the fact that the actors in the audience are—they love acting. They're not here to be famous or rich or anything. But because once you start acting seriously, you know that there's no money in it, unless it's some crazy fluke. I think 2% of people who identify as actors are working just as actors. So the idea of leaving home and coming back in whatever small triumph I have is really encouraging and humbling, and it's weird. It 'cause I'm such a fan of other people, it's weird to be recognized, like singled out. That's what it is. It's weird to be singled out.
It's kind of antithesis of improv in a way.
Exactly.
But there, I mean, when people stop you on the street and, you know, in Michigan Avenue, they're like, hey, the guy from 30 Rock, or they're like, hey, the gargoyle guy from Second City. Like,
yeah. I mean, there are people who don't know anything about 30 Rock or Big Hero 6 or Mr. Show, and they say, you know, they'll mention a scene I did with Tina or a, you know, some.
It's a Saturn guy.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow.
I know, Scott. What's next for you? I mean, is there Big Hero 6 too? I think we talked about that at one point.
They're working on it. In a lazy way. I think it's on their back burner right now because they just want to make sure they've got the right script. Disney and John Lasseter and the directors love that movie, and they don't want to ruin it by a cash grab really quickly. Yeah. So like The Incredibles, I think they're going to wait until they've got the right script.
Are you when you say you're working with Glazer? I mean, are you working on projects with some of the Chicago people? Do you try to seek that out?
Yeah, any time I can, sure. I work with Dino Stamatopoulos a lot, and I worked with Glazer quite a few times. He's nice enough to hire me. And I know it's people I'm forgetting, but... No, Dan Harmon's not from here, is he?
No. We'll wait. Go ahead. This is where Scott remembers who he's working with.
No. No, there's nobody else.
Nobody else. Thank you so much for taking some time out. He's got a show at 9 o'clock at the Improv Festival, so to come over here and talk to us about his career and about Chicago, it means a lot. Scott Adsit, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
I'm on Veep again this year, so yeah. Watch the best show on TV, Veep.
Thank you, buddy. You were great. All right. Okay, I got it, Pete. I got it. All right. All right, so we'll continue the show. We're going to get Taylor up here for another song and interview, and then we'll get you guys out of here. Before we do that, let me just do my promos, and then we will get to Taylor. Sound good? Okay, you get to see radio in the making here, so just hold on 1 second. This is what you came for, right? All right. You ready? All right, 3, 2, 1. Wish you were handier around the house? Well, learn how to take on those DIY projects with some help from your friends at WGN-TV. Lou Manfredini at 10 o'clock. And Weekend Workbench at 11. What do you guys think? Good? I stumbled a little bit there, yeah. Josh called me. All right, ready? We'll bring it on. She's real. She's Chicago. She's Robin Baumgarten. Watch Robin and the rest of the WGN Morning News team weekdays 4 to 10 on Chicago's very own WGN-TV.
All right, got it.
I'll just rally through these. I'll rally through these. Hold on.
One take.
That's right. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. The download is brought to you by Snapchat, reminding you that it's not for you. Sponsorship provided in part by Uber. The Uber app's cutting-edge technology makes it easier to delete. Does that work? Okay. The download is made possible by the generous assistance of Trader Joe's, because you deserve food that rhymes. The download is sponsored in part by the Nagel Curve, slowing your roll for over 55 years. That's good. Keep going. The download is brought to you by Season 7 of some show you just heard of. Season 7 of some show you just heard of. You're not watching? Oh, my God, you have to watch it. Also, download brought to you by Crayola, who's proud to announce their newest color, Reflux. Great. Big thanks to our partners at the Haircuttery at Eugenie and Wells on the in Uptown. Haircuttery, only most of us are pregnant. If you're a residential real estate loan officer and you need a super awkward and inappropriate venue for a client meeting, look no further than the Whole Foods food court on Kingsbury. Whole Foods, proudly serving Chicago's sketchy mortgage community for over 15 years. And big thanks to our sponsors at Wrigleyville Urinal Trough Irish Bar and Grill. Proudly serving Chicagoans at the corner of Clark and Sheffield since last month. Wrigleyville Urinal Trough Irish Bar and Grill, because you deserve to pee like a horse. Is that it? Is that it? One more. And also thanks to Cards Against Humanity. Yeah. We get it. We get it. You're funny. All right. That's going to do it. Thank you, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring back to the stage. We're going to get a performance from him. Then I want him to sit down and talk to me. This guy's EP is out. EP. Restoration of an American Idol. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together once again for the talented Taylor Bennett.
Hey, what's up, Chicago? It's so loud. It's very funny that every single time I come out here, it looks like it's a different crowd. You guys must be just very beautiful. I thought about doing like a little costume change every time I got off. I thought I'd be kind of tacky, so I didn't go through with it. I really forgot the clothes. I wanted to. So for the next track, I decided to do a little switch up, and instead of doing it with the actual track in the background, I'm just going to do an acapella, if that's okay. So without further ado. I had to show them that I'm not a little bro. I can't vote for no future that's frivolous. My shoulders got broader, my business got smarter. Where I work like this, it was a privilege. Damn it, so facing imprisonment, all of this work in my catalog fidgeting. I took a break like it's bad on my ligaments. 2 months in Cali, then back in my residence. Listen, when God sends his messages, I made a masterpiece. I'm from America. That shit unbearable. That shit hysterical. I seen some things you would think was unbearable. Nice and nice and nice. Instead, I stop smoking. I just keep on buying it. Know why it feels to be stuck in environments. Know why it feels not to reach your requirements. I've been so foolish since third grade. Hummingbird stuck in a birdcage. Cigarettes. Losing my voice at a slow pace. Marlboro Reds on my worst days. Only sober on my birthdays. 20 trying to make an earthquake. Just put down a lease on my first place. Still at home like a third base. I ain't even got a workspace. Working where we trap and serve at. Surveillance on me, y'all can merch it. More than God staring from the surface. More than demons, goblins, any surfing. And my conscience trying to make me nervous. It's my karma coming for my verses. Mo better blues, and I'm worthless. Till my teeth gone, I'ma sleep wrong, I'ma keep knowing I got a purpose. If I'm sleeped on, I'ma keep on till my arms break from the jerking. When we all lost, when we all false, I'ma look at Jesus to observe him. He's coming, I heard him. What's up, Chicago? I get the nice chair. So should I talk about this mic? I see people talking. This is a nice mic. Wow. Thank you, guys.
I mean,
I don't know if I'm too short for this thing or like.
You're good.
I think I'm okay. I think just me looking at it is kind of weird.
You're about to take off, right? You're about to take off on a tour.
Yeah.
The Taylor Bennett Show. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So I'm doing my first headlining tour.
Yeah!
Thank you, guys. I leave on Monday.
Leave on Monday.
Yeah, leave on Monday. So we got this nice big tour bus. You know, you never really realize, like, how cool it is to, like, be an artist until, like, you start doing artist things. Because, like, for a long time, I was just, like, you know, like, playing these little shows, and I'm in the back. And, you know, you got to work your way up. That's with anything that you do. But now we got, like, this super nice tour bus, and I'm just, like, feeling myself a lot more. Like, I got this huge tour bus. I'm doing these things.
You're going to get sick of that real quick. And you're like,
hopefully I do. Because if I don't, it's not good for my health to think so highly of myself, for sure.
Well, you know, I have had the great opportunity to talk to you a couple times on the show.
Thanks, man.
And, you know, and you performed for my birthday, which I'll never forget. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you know it.
But what I love, and we talked about this before, is talk about where your style comes from. Because, you know, you have been a big part of the hip-hop scene here, but really a big part of the poetry scene. Talk about where that style comes from, where your voice comes from.
I like to think that just as us Chicagoans, music is very, very vital to us. Growing up, I listened to all different kinds of artists, from Queen to the Smiths, all the way to Lenny Kravitz to Billie Holiday, and it doesn't stop there. But I've been influenced by a lot of Chicago artists, such as Twista, Kanye West. And I think the most influencing thing about it is seeing that somebody can come from the same city as you, where there's so much pain and there's so much violence, but there's also so much beauty. And I think that if I was from anywhere else besides Chicago, I would not be the same person that I am today as an artist, but even more as an individual. I've learned so many things from living in this city. I've seen so many different aspects of life. I grew up on the south side on 79th, and then I moved to the north side. I stayed in Buena Park, and now I live downtown. And just to be able to see the difference that you go through with every neighborhood and how much culture is involved, it's crazy.
So many different planters in the middle of the streets.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah, downtown, there's just so many planters.
Yeah, downtown, that's the best place to live.
No, and all that, everything you were just saying is great, but I mean, I could be the same way. I could be like, oh, man, I really love, you know, what I've grown up in this environment. And I really enjoy it. I can't talk. I can't spit like you. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, at a certain point, I'd be like, let me get into my, I can't do it. No. So where does that come from? Where does that talent come from that you can be able to do that so well?
I think, I don't know. I think it's honestly just a God gift. I try not to question it too much because I think if I do, then it might go away one day when I wake up. But I think it really just comes from, you know, the morals that my parents had installed in me and my brother. You know, just always put your best foot forward. You know, never stop, never give up. You know, if you're sitting and you have writer's block, you sit there until you're done with the song. You know, you don't just get up and decide to go to the movies or something like that. And I think growing up when I was like 13 and 12, that's what really pushed me to know this is what I wanted to do.
You've had a great year.
Thank you.
South by Southwest, which
yeah.
you just came off of. Great shows there.
Thank you, man.
And one of the things I was reading was just how many you know, hip-hop legends were hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Whether it be Wale or Lil Wayne, like, there was just, like, everyone's like, hey, Taylor Bennett. Like, it's like, so, I mean, talk about that. Talk about the idea of watching your career be able to move to the next level.
I think it's crazy. I think something that you just always have to remember as an artist is that there's no one else that's like you. And that doesn't mean that you don't respect anybody else or anything like that, but what that means is that Lil Wayne could like my music, and that's no different than a fan coming up to me and telling me that they like my music. You know, of course, it's amazing. I was hanging out with Rick Ross and Wale and Lil Wayne and Designer and all types of people. And they're great people. They're great people. They're really nice, down-to-earth guys. But, you know, there's something that I like to think is called the it factor. And the thing about the it factor is that you have to know that you have it. If somebody has to tell you that you're the best, or they have to tell you that you can do all of these things, then who are you really? And I think that's what comes down and kind of breaks the factor of what a star is. And because you can't make a star. You are a star, you know. And I believe
so you don't
that
have a full-length mirror on the back of your bathroom door going,
I don't
good
have
enough,
a full-length mirror
enough.
In my house at all. I wish I did because that's why my fits look so weird. Sometimes I don't match my pants with my shirt. But, you know, that's just how it goes.
For you, I mean, you've had, from Broad Shoulders and to this EP, you've seen I don't want to say maturation process, but you've evolved. Your music on Broad Shoulders was great. And like Thank I said you to so you at much. The time, it was one of, you know, I will have artists on and I'll move on from their music, but I kept that one around. And
Thank
I,
you so much, man. I got a picture of you in my room, too, so.
Oh, that's... Finally. But talk about the evolution, because it's even some of the artists that are on. I mean, your brother's on the record, but there's also Jeremiah's on the record. Yeah. There's others, you know, even the guys that came out tonight. I mean, talk about the evolution of your music. What are you trying to accomplish from record to record?
I think when I work with artists, my thing has always been to take them out of their comfort zone. But it's also been to never try to one-up somebody. Nobody wants to hear a track and say, oh my God, you are so much better than that person or that person. People want good music. And what I like to do is I like to take artists out of their comfort zone so when their fans hear it, they hear something different too, because nobody wants to hear the same thing. It's one thing for a guy to hop on my track and my fans like, oh, I've never heard of this guy and I like how he sounds, but I want his fans to also, you know, be astounded by that. But yeah, you know, we had a lot of big artists. We had Lil Yachty, Rory, Super Duper Kyle, we had Chance, we had Michael Almeida did some production, and Jeremiah. We had Super, we had Jordan Braddon and Stro. We had a lot of amazing features and amazing artists. And, you know, I'm just grateful that they like the music. And
let me ask you a question about your brother, not about family. But, yeah. You know, the fact that Chance has had so much success in the last year.
Right.
What does that do for the Chicago hip-hop community? What does it do for you and other guys that save money?
For the
guys,
Chicago hip-hop community just overall. I think it's a big deal. I think it shows that, like I said, with any amount of effort, you can do whatever. But I think it's a bigger scale for children, not just of color or not just from the South Side and not just from neighborhoods that we're from, but I think children all over to realize that a young kid from Chicago that Chance had got, for anybody that's not familiar with Chance the Rapper, he's my older brother. He was suspended.
You're a total...
Right?
Yeah, you're out. There's the door if you don't know who Chance the Rapper is.
Right? But he had been suspended. I think it was his senior year. And he made his first project, and it was called 10 Days. So I think he was about 17 or 18. But I remember that right there was a belief for everybody that was still in high school and kids that were at elementary school that a kid could have a platform to speak his voice. And a lot of kids, personally, a lot of my friends, a lot of people that I know, felt like he was speaking and saying things for them that they could not say. And to this day, I think today, the Bulls just donated $1 million to match his $1 million for the CPS students that lack funding.
Yeah, that's news. And it continues. You keep seeing the story in today's news and a couple weeks ago. I mean, I guess it begs the question, when are you going to get political?
Right? That's very
What's
true.
Next?
Well, you know, we're actually putting together a summit. I work very closely with the homeless youth and LGBT. So, you know, we've been working with La Casa Norte and whatnot, but we're going to get this summit together because homeless youth is a huge epidemic. Nobody really thinks about it. When you think about homelessness, you don't think about children. And in Chicago, I think they did a report, and there were about 22,000 kids from CPS, this is about 2 years ago, that had stated that there was a point in time during either their high school career or their elementary career that they were homeless. And I think that's a big thing, and, you know, I've been working on it very much so. We've done a lot of events. We've done a lot of charity things, but I think it's time for the politicians and all these people that are on our TV every day saying that this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, for us to get a chance to sit down with them face-to-face and tell them what we need to do to get this back on track. So we're working on a summit right now.
Last time, and you know, a lot has happened with you personally as well. Like since the last time I talked, you came out.
I came out as bisexual.
That's right.
As a young male. Yeah.
But I mean, and congratulations for that. But I really enjoyed the way that you did it. I mean, you took to social media, but you really talked about that you wanted people to see you as an artist to be true to who you were, because it was important for them to look at you as a reflection, or to be something that you're not.
Yeah, to always be yourself. My mom always says three things to me. She's been saying it to me since I started making music, maybe a little bit before that. Be yourself, be sober, and be humble. And I think that for all of my fans, what I just want all of them to know is that you do not have to portray yourself as someone else to be accepted. If you have to be someone else to be accepted, that's not your group of friends, because they don't really know you. And how can you support somebody fully if you do not know them?
The hip-hop community, not so sensitive.
Not so, right? Yeah. Nah.
I'll be frank. I mean, have you had any pushback? I mean, there were some rappers who came out who had something to say or something.
Yeah.
That, I mean, is there pushback to announcements like that?
I think I actually had a couple articles from some pretty big people like MTV and BET and a lot of people that actually they said that me coming out was the first time that there was so much of a positive feedback. And I'd like to accredit that just to the fact that, like I said, and I say in interviews all the time, I didn't come out so I could, you know, be on TV and say all these things and say this. I came out to my fans. And that's why it was a directed tweet. That's why it wasn't a blog drop. That wasn't because I felt like it was the day before my birthday and I was going to be 21. And I wanted to go into the next year.
That's right. Taylor's 21.
Yeah, Taylor's 21. But I wanted to go into the next year being myself. I wanted to be, you know, I think 21 is a very pivotal age when you become a man, and I wanted to be myself. I didn't want to have any secrets. I wanted to be the best person that Taylor Bennett could possibly be. So.
Well, you're doing it.
Thank you, bro.
And I would say, and I would direct this to everybody in this audience. I mean, this kid's 21. What were you doing at 21? You're probably buying beer for your roommates. Come on. What you did when you were 21. Oh, I'm 21 now. Yeah, okay. I'll go get the Red Dog. So it's only $3. Awesome. Taylor, you got one more in you tonight?
Yeah, I do have one more track.
What are you going to play?
We're going to play Dancing in the Rain. It's one of my favorites.
Going deep cut. Deep. Little broad shoulders, right?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody, Taylor Bennett.
My voice sound different on here? A little bit? Okay. Can I get my friend Brandon Fox out here? He's amazing. Look, you guys see him? He came out with the mic from around the curtain. He was ready. I messed him up. He was going to come around.
Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing? He's a funny guy.
So, yeah, without further ado, this is Dancing in the Rain.
In the rain, ain't no pain. I seen days dark and shame. My heart aches like an AK hit my chest. That's a heartbreak. I can sleep, but I can't rest. Wake me up when I ain't pressed. Press my suit, early wake best. Seen first, last, first, blessed, rest. Tears turn rain to oceans. Pain floats high, we deep in. I don't mind. Like a glass vase, what could ever make you wanna take a break? Trying to break the ice is thinner than a glacier. Waterfalls and tears be feeling like the same thing. I be falling, talking, drowning in my sorrow. You be like, okay, I'll call you back tomorrow. We should take this fire, so I go grab your punch. I don't mind dancing in the rain.
Chicago,
baby. Drop our worries, get in the rain.
Chicago, make some noise for my brother, bro. Taylor Bennett, Chicago. For real, get ready. Times get hard, times get hard. We all gotta fight through the struggle called life, man. Stay positive.
Chicago.
Hey, make some noise for Taylor right here. Appreciate you guys for real.
Give it up for Taylor Bennett. Even some slow jams. I want to thank Pete Zimmerman, Bill Malone, Sarah Tiemann, Marlene Wells, and most importantly, I want to thank you guys for coming out to watch a radio show. But I thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate it. We will be doing this, and I like this space. I think this works, right? All right, we can do this live. I want to thank Abby McEnany for helping out tonight. How great was that? I want to thank State Senator Daniel Biss. Beverly Kim, how great was that? Scott Adsit. And, of course, Taylor Bennett. And most importantly, you guys, thanks so much for coming out. We appreciate it. Before I go, I want to thank Virtue Cider. I hope you all had a cider, Virtue Cider. Thanks to Virtue Cider, which makes crisp and dry craft ciders from 100% Michigan apples, now available in 12-ounce bottles throughout Chicagoland. Visit virtuecider.com for more information.